So if you have your Bibles this morning and turn to me in Romans, I'm going to kind of continue on with what the spiritual food for thought was. You know, we want to live in that life of condemnation. And first of all, Satan wants to lie to us that there's this God up there that is all loving and all kind, and that there's no wrath, and that he has abolished the law, and you're under grace and you're under mercy, which, again, the problem with Satan is he tells a lot of half-truths, which makes the whole thing a lie. And that's the problem you have to understand about who he is. And you see, so those children that escape his snare and become his children, then his knows that he can't get your soul. He knows he can't get, but he can mess up your walk. He can mess up your fellowship. If he can keep you in condemnation, that's where he wants to keep you. He wants to keep you in your mindset on, wow, you're not worthy. Well, if you come to the saving knowledge of who Christ is, and you'll understand that you were never worthy, which, again, there are so many ways to look at these lies that he tells you that in Scripture will defeat those lies in your life and set you free to live that abundant life that he talks about. I can understand the abundant life is not a wealthy life, it's not a healthy life, it's not all those things that the world tells you. Do you understand that anything, do you understand this one basic truth? That anything that the world thinks is good, you have evil men, contrary to God's word, and they bring something together that's good for the world, do you think God is in it? For one moment, do you think God attaches himself to the minds and the thinking of men? And yet we have been deceived by Almighty Man. Not only in the Word of God, but how we live our life, the government that we run, the government that we live in, has deceived us all, have deceived the world. I will tell you this morning, I will stand here and put my fate in the hand of Almighty God, not in man. This has been a good test for us, but we've not seen anything yet. And you're going to have to understand where your freedom's at, and what your freedom allows, and what God has freed you from. Not only that bondage of sin that it makes you follow what man devises as a plan. God is not in the things that evil men think is good. I'm going to read here. It says, for those, and this is in chapter 8, I'm going to begin in verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. You see, the only thing that flesh can come up is with fleshly ideas. They have no acknowledgement of what the Spirit of Eden is about. I hear no one in this pandemic talking about the hand of God or the welfare of God or the protection of God in their lives, but only the fear, oh, I might get this thing and I might die. Well, I got news for you. You're going to die. You cannot preserve your life beyond the moment that God says you're done. Do you understand what I'm saying? That you cannot preserve your life beyond the moment that God says you're done. Every man is appointed for a time to die, and yet they use the fear of death in us to make us act like a bunch of sheep and monkeys. Things that are flesh put their mind on the flesh, and that's all they can come up with is things that are in the flesh. It's real easy to see if what's coming down the pipes is fleshly or not, because there will not be nothing spiritual from those that are denying Christ and denying God and denying his power and denying his kingdom and denying his authority over man. God has authority over mankind. We cannot escape the plagues of God. We cannot escape the plans of God. But God had loved us enough to include us in those plans. And yet we as children of God act like somehow we can put another ounce of life in us. Goes on to say, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. So when you begin to engage in what this world says is best for you, and you begin to get those ideas and live out those ideas, what's best for you, apart from God. Did anybody ever get on your knees and have you gone over all that's going on in our life to see what God wants you to do and how he wants you to stand? Or do you say, well, I'll do this because it's best for this one. Or I'll do this because this so I can continue to work. Or I'll do this so I can continue to do this. See, it's all about us, isn't it? That's in what we make our decisions about. It's not about God. I'm telling you, church, there's going to come a time you're going to have to make a decision whether it's about you or about God. And if you make the decision about God, it's going to hurt you physically. I hope there's a fear in you this morning that you get on your knees, that God gives you the spirit and the courage to stand in this world that we live in. If you think vaccinations is going to cure the coronavirus, I told you from day one it wouldn't work. Guess what? Guess what? It doesn't work. People that are vaccinated are as sick as the ones that are not vaccinated. But yet they're going to continue the mandates. They're going to continue telling us that we're sheep, that we don't know what we're talking about. They're lying to us. Look around, it doesn't work. For 2 years we've been, or a year and a half we've been vaccinated, it doesn't work. But yet we're in the flesh, because we're fleshly minded, we let this world and we let this government tell us what we need to think. Instead of looking at the almighty word of God. For the mind set on the flesh is death, and you're going to die. That's why people don't live as long. That's why man's life is becoming shortened all the time. It's because we're becoming further and further from the word of God and not seeking God's guidance in our life, but just jumping on that first little thing that, oh, this will help you, this will save you. And only the hand of God can save you. It's going to test our trust in God beyond all measure. We've never seen anything like this. See, listen to me. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. That's all it can be. That's all that it is. So all these mandates and all these things trying to save the flesh is going to end up in death. A deceived death. And more important, that spiritual death. They're going to come out and try to tell you all these things. Again, I heard in Canada, I repeat this, that this is, again, these are milestones of things that the Bible said are going to come true. That now they're going to dictate what we can preach and what we can't preach. That we won't be able to talk about sexuality. We won't be able to tell you that it's one man and one woman for one lifetime. We won't be able to tell you that it's an abomination for a man to wear women's clothes. We won't be able to talk about that. See, just because we hide it from ourselves, we somehow think that it doesn't matter to God anymore. We somehow, we bury our heads in the sand. That somehow Almighty God no longer exists or no longer matters. His word, his holy scriptures, no matter to dictate how a humanity is supposed to live. If we just don't acknowledge him, we just don't acknowledge it, we just don't talk about it. Well, you can't read the Word of God without talking about it. That's all this is about, is the depravity of man. That's all this book is about, is the depravity of man. All this book is about is the wrath of God. But then God overshadows that with his love and sends his son so that you will not perish. This is all about you not perishing. All of this is about you not going into that second death and thrown into that lake of fire at the end of time when Jesus comes back. Oh, did you not know that Jesus is coming back? Have we forgot that? Have we actually do not live our lives thinking that it might be today? And it was one passage of scripture that comes to mind that says when Jesus comes, he says, who will he find? Will there anybody be left that is faithful? Will there be anyone left that's faithful when he comes, when he says when he returns? Will he find any that are faithful? Because see, when we get a little uncomfortable, what do? We change the Word of God. Right? That's what religion allows us to do, right? Is when we get a little uncomfortable about something, then we, oh, well, I'm not going to trust God. And I'm not saying putting God through the test. There's a whole different sermon on that one. But this is living your life quietly, living your life in a godly manner, in a righteous living, and letting the trouble come find you. And it will. And it will. And how will you stand? See, we will do all this stuff against our nature and because I'm saying our new nature. We'll do all this stuff. We'll go back to the flesh to try to save the flesh, which I don't understand because we have been delivered from the flesh. But yet, all of our efforts are to save the flesh. I don't understand what we're doing as a people when we have been delivered from that, but yet we keep putting ourselves back in that to save it. However, this is verse 9. He goes on to say, however, you're not in the flesh. I want you to think for them just a moment. You need to answer this question today, not tomorrow. You need to answer this question right now. And it needs to be told to you by the Holy Spirit. Not by some ritual or something you did but it has to be, are you flesh or are you spirit? I want to know. God wants to know what you think. He knows already. Are you flesh or are you spirit? Who told you? How'd you come up to that conclusion? We'll find out here in just a moment. Because if this is not how it happened, you're not in the spirit. And you have been fooled by your father. See, this is a crazy that Satan the father, he wants to hurt his children, not help his children. Isn't that a weird father? What father wants to hurt their kid? But Satan, being your father, wants to hurt you. He doesn't want you to know any of these truths. He wants to keep it all hidden from you. However, you're not in the flesh, but you're in the spirit. Don't you love those ifs? I'm going to write a book. I'm going to go on tour. The ifs of God. I'm going to be a multimillionaire. I'll buy my own plane. The ifs of God. Listen to what this is. However, you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. And it can't be, well, I think it is there. It can't be that I have faith that it's there. When the Spirit of God indwells you, you know He's there. And it's not based on faith. Faith is what gets Him there. It's an actual, supernatural, born again, new creature experience that raises you from the dead. No, I don't have faith that the Spirit's in me. I know He's in me. And I know He dwells in me. He's taken up residence in me. And it's a daily battle of killing the old flesh in me. 24/7. Not just on Sunday. Not just when I have time. But in God's time. See, he goes on to say that if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. The worst thing about it is Satan deceiving you that you're saved and you're lost. And you buying into the lie because you don't listen to the truth. Could you fail because of our arrogance and because of our pride and what will other people think and because we listen to the father of lies that we don't listen to truth. And we sit there Sunday in and Sunday out thinking we're praising and worshiping God when we're doing it all in vain unless the Spirit dwells in you. See, this doesn't, it's not a matter of what you think. It's not a matter of how you feel. It's a matter of what you've been told and revealed. But no one wants to sit there and spend the time to find out where their eternity lasts. They're willing to take the lies of their father, they're willing to take the lies of men and take their chances when they leave their last, when they breathe their last breath. And very clear in Scripture, not everyone that calls me Lord, Lord enters the kingdom of God. See, if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. So see, within the mortal body, which is dead, there's no Spirit in it of God that's been removed when we sinned at the Garden of Eden and we set this gulf between us and God because of our sin. We're dead. The mortal body is separated. That's what dead does, right? Dead separates you. Dead doesn't allow you to do anything. Dead causes you to decay. Dead doesn't bring any benefit to our life being dead. Dead is not a good thing. But, in verse 11, if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. So, this same power, I don't think we look at this. I don't think we grasp this. I don't think we understand this. The power that raised all the Jesus from the dead, the grave after 3 days, raised Him up. It's the same power that lives in us. Wow. Have you ever given that a moment's thought? That's the power you have? That's the power you're walking around with? Is that same power that woke Jesus up and said, come on. I'm raising you from the dead. So he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Well, I think we skip over that verse too often. Do you understand the magnitude of what that verse says? That means at some point in your life, if Christ dwells in you, it's going to become evident in your mortal body. See, your mortal body, apart from this, can't do anything but sin. But when Christ dwells in you, He gives life to the mortal body, puts the sin to death, and all of a sudden the mortal body starts reacting to the Spirit. And we begin to walk a new life. Look at things a new way. Not be deceived. Not listen to everything that comes down the stinking pipe. But to check out every spirit and make sure there's truth in it. And you can't come to truth by listening to a blog on the internet. Truth is only lies up in the pages of God's holy word and scriptures. And if you want to not be deceived by this world, then you better make sure the foundation's correct. Last week we talked about the foundation. And if the foundation is correct, then your mortal bodies ought to begin to start looking like it. A child of God cannot remain the way that God found him. That is impossible. You cannot take this and just be indifferent about it. Spirit of God in you is for a purpose, and that's to make your mortal bodies come into the direct command and the direct leadership of Almighty God. So, brethren, this is in verse 12. We are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if the Holy Spirit, you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. If that is not the reason you get out of bed tomorrow morning, is to watch God work miraculous upon your life, to bring life to your mortal body, and quit walking in death, quit walking in flesh, but begin to walk in the Spirit of God, in the commandments of God, holding true to him and only him, regardless of what it costs you. See, we want this only if it doesn't cost us anything. I'm talking about physically. As long as it keeps me comfortable, as long as it allows me to do what I want to do. Did we not learn last week that you were bought with a price, that you're not your own? Wasn't it the words last week that said, only if you begin to enact upon the Word of God, not just know the Word of God, not just hear the Word of God, but make it a part of your life, and you act upon it, and you take a stand upon it, then you're compared to a wise man that when all this stuff comes, that the house will stand. And you wonder why your houses don't stand. Read this and you'll find out, and apply it to yourself instead of somebody else. These messages aren't for somebody else. These messages are for each and every one of you, including your pastor. I don't preach sermons that aren't for me. Don't you think for one moment and start thinking, well, see, here's what we gauge it by. Okay, I'm not as bad as that one, so I'm doing it mostly correct, so that makes me better than that one. God says if you're not doing exactly, it's as if you're not doing it at all. Did you hear what I said? This is the God you serve. If you're not doing exactly what he says, you're not doing it at all. Halfway doesn't get you there. Halfway doesn't make the mark. But that's what we do. That's how we measure it. Well, you're trying. You're doing your best. Well, your best will send you to hell. I'm going to finish up real quick, and then we're going to observe the Lord's Supper, because there's a reason that we need to celebrate that. If any other time in our world we need to remember who Christ is, it's now. You see, it says, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And this the little S's, meaning that relationship. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father. See, it's the Spirit himself which testifies to our spirits that we are children of God. The only conclusion I have that I'm God's child is He told me I was. Not a prayer that I said. Not a mission trip I went on. Not an experience from a concert or convention or whatever they go to now and manufacture Christians. But that I sat alone with Almighty God in my iniquity and sin, unworthy to lift my head to heaven because of my unworthiness, and exposed who I was through His Word. And I began to hear from the Word, which gave me the faith to put in God to receive. And when He came in, it was a quiet, small, still voice. It wasn't a thunder, it wasn't a clatter, it wasn't an earthquake, but you're now mine. I'm taking up residence. Might have not known what that all meant when it happened, but I knew it happened because it was told to me it happened. It was clear as I was talking to you right now. You have any other experience in hearing God? See, it's the faith that gets you to the point of where you receive. But you can go to that point and never be born again. And that's a sad thing. That's the father of the lies. God wants to give you this gift. If you do it the way the scriptures say it has to be done.